Two comments from Rav Hirsch regarding the mission that Avram sends his Eved Eliezer on to find a wife for Yitzchak. One component is, the famous component is that Avram makes his servant Eliezer take a shvuah, he has to take an oath. And the way the oath is described in the Torah is Hashem, Avram says to him, Simna yadcha tachas irechi, place your hand under my thigh. Now that phrase is familiar to us because there are two famous oaths that are taken in the Torah which both use that language. Here in the beginning of Chayesara, Avram makes Eliezer do that. And when Yaakov is on his deathbed and he wants Yosef to make sure that he buries him back in Eretz Canaan and doesn't leave him in Mitzrayim, also uses that language, place your hand under my thigh. Very odd language. And what's the significance of placing one's hand under a thigh that it's used in this context? And Rav Hirsch points out it's not found anywhere else in Tanakh. There's the only two places the oath Yaakov takes and the oath that Avram here, or that Yaakov makes Yosef take, and that Avram makes his son Eliezer. What's it? What's the meaning of that? Rashi quotes from Chazal that what it means is that in Halacha, which will eventually develop much later on in Jewish history, of course, that when you took an oath, you had to be holding a davar shebekdusha. Tzarich netilas chefetz. You have to hold something, and then when you're holding a davar shebekdusha, say for Torah, something of the like, you would take an oath. And therefore, in this era, where there wasn't yet such a concept of such a chayfetz, there was no such concept of a sefer Torah. So therefore, the most choshuv thing that they had, the most important thing, was the bris milah, the mitzvah that Avram Avinu had been given, which he transmitted down to son Yitzchak and down to Yaakov. And therefore, the language that the Torah uses to place your hand underneath my thigh is just the cleaner language of to take an oath by or on the power of the bris milah, this mitzvah which I had, and therefore that's why they would use such a language. That's what Rashi quotes from Chazal. Rav Hirsch writes, on a pasha pshat, meaning the thigh is not the place of the bris milah. It's a different area, it's a different part of the body. What's the significance of saying that? So he suggests an interpretation, a pasha pshat interpretation of what this would mean, not discounting how Chazal understand it, that it literally means place your hand under my thigh. And what's the significance of that? So he writes, if one were to think about sitting down, if you're in a standing position and you sat down or went to lie down on the ground, what's the first part of the body that comes into contact with the ground as you sit? You imagine sitting cross-legged on the floor. Your thigh is what rests on top of the ground. That's the part of the body that is, so to speak, supported by the ground. Both of these oaths by that Avram here has his Eliezer take and that Yaakov asks his son Yosef to take are specifically oaths that are occurring by a dying man, or one whose end is approaching, who knows that he himself will be unlikely to fulfill the mission that is coming up in the future, and he's exacting a promise from someone who will outlive him, to carry something out, without which the person making the person take the oath feels, I can't die in peace until I know that this has been done. Therefore, the phrase "simna yadcha tachas yirechi" of place your hand underneath my thigh literally means let me rest upon your hand. Give me the strength and the power which lies in your hand, on the basis in which I can rest in peace, knowing that I am now being supported, so to speak. My thigh, which represents that which is generally supported by the ground when you sit down, is being supported by your hand. You will carry me through. I can't do what needs to be done, but I rest assured knowing that you indeed can do so. That's his interpretation of that phrase, Simna yadcha tachas yirechi. One other quick point on this entire idea in which Avram is looking for a wife, not from his own homeland, but sends Eliezer, not from Canaan where he lives. As Rav Hirsch points out, the daughters of Canaan, and he says, they're not for me, but the daughters of Aram, where I'm from, that's where we're going to. Those daughters were also idolaters. And Avram didn't leave a place of non-idolatry to come to a place. There, everybody was idolaters. So what's the difference he raises of that Avram? I can't have a wife for my son from here. I need to go from there. These idolaters are no good. Those idolaters, oh, that I can handle. Says Rav Hirsch, what you see for this entire concept of the Shvuah, that the idolatry of Canaan is not so much the problem, but the general moral degeneracy of the land. Idolatry is an error of the mind, he writes. An intellectual error. An intellectual error, as hard as it is to do, can be corrected. Person believes in an incorrect thing or power, that's something we can address. You can change someone's, as hard as it is, You can change, you can instruct, you can teach. But moral degeneration, that, he says, gets a grip on the whole nature of a person, the whole depth of his feelings and thoughts. And even that, Avram said, I have no chance. If a person comes to me with such a moral depravity, we're lost. Therefore, go to my homeland. Yes, everybody's idolatrous. But here, they're morally degenerates and idolatrous, and that I can't manage. But there, at least you'll get somebody with good midos. That's what we can work. Idolatrous background, we can teach, we can train, we can deal with that. It's the moral element, the ethical elements. Either you have it or you don't. And that is the most difficult thing to be able to bring into the home, someone who doesn't have that, and try to correct that.